Y'all, hey, what's going on out there? How y'all doing today? I hope everybody is doing well. This is Let's Talk on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Mr. Talk. And we have a good show for you today. It's called Thursday Fun. I can think of anything else. But anyway, I'm glad you can join me. And we're going to have fun. We're going to get it on anyway. And, you know, my co-host will be out today. You know, hope he had fun. He had a couple of graduations he needed to take care of. So, y'all just have me to talk, man. Y'all got the man today, the man today. So, hope everybody's ready for a great show. All right, so in the show today, there's quite a few ways you can. The first one is just call us. Call me, man. Call in and talk to me. 347-838-8622. Another way is you can email me at ericletstalk@gmail.com. And then there's the chat room where the conversation is never, never dull. That's for sure. And you can get into the chat room by going to www.blogtalkradio.com/Mr. Talk. Now, let me help you out. You go to that link. And if you just come into the chat room, you'll come in as a guest. Now, as a guest, you can see what everyone's typing and what the conversation is. However, you cannot type or have input. But if you log in with a username, whether this is something from your social media or something, you can log in with that name, then you can type in the chat room and actively participate with the other chat room members. All right? But I prefer you. I like to hear from you. Nothing is off limits, especially on a day like today, Thursday Fun. You know, we going to be all over the place talking about a multitude of topics, I'm sure. So if you're ready, you know, we're going to do that because I'm always ready for y'all to be an active participant in the show. Because without you, the caller and listener, we have a show. So I'm saying thank you, and I'm very appreciative that you take time out your busy day to stop and listen to Mr. Talk on Let's Talk and my co-host also. All right. So, you know, I got all that out of the way. And let's see what else we want to talk about. I'm going to get some music done today, but I don't know what happened. I have to go back and recheck it. So y'all know tomorrow I'm bringing y'all music tomorrow. And it's Friday, so we got to have a beat tempos and be ready to rock, because we gonna do the dang on thing. So I hope everybody's ready, and you know, bring dance shoes or your chair dancing or whatever you're gonna do. You may want to practice it tonight, because we're gonna be rocking in the morning. Yes, we are. We're gonna be rocking tomorrow afternoon. I'm sorry, unless you're on the West Coast, then it's noon. And either way, we're gonna be rocking and rolling. All right, so that's it. That is it. Let's see what else I want to mention real fast. Has two of the hottest news items for a while were going on, but a very interesting thing has happened. You don't hear anything else about it. Well, you just heard a little bit about the plane a little while ago, say they're going to try and redo the search area. After this long, and I don't know if they're going to be able to play. And I told y'all, it's in the jungle somewhere. DPA don't agree with me on that one. He probably said it's under the ocean. They're going to find it eventually. Well, we're going to see. We're going to see. And what about them 200 girls in Africa, Nigeria, Northern Africa? You know, why haven't we heard anything else? The Nigerian army says they know where they are. So, why haven't we heard anything? You know, I would assume if you know where they are, you know, and that's been, what, a couple of, also a whole month, well, just a little, over 3 weeks. But yet, you still have not rescued girls. Sounds like some backdoor action going on. You know what I mean? Sound like some backdoor stuff going on. I know ain't nobody's going to admit it, but yeah, there's some negotiating going on. You know, because I don't think, I really honestly do not believe Nigerian army is capable of going in and getting them girls out. I really don't. You know, and I think it has become a bit of an embarrassment to that government and their military, especially when you make statements like, well, we know where they are. Just leave us alone and let us do our work. Well, your work isn't doing nothing, apparently, because the girl's still hostage. I know y'all said, well, that's 200 girls. What about all the other ones? Yeah, I'm talking about them 200 young ladies that were in school. Yeah, the Boko Haram. Yeah. Do y'all know what that means? Do y'all know what Boko Haram means? I'm telling you. Do you know what it means? Because I was curious myself. Boko Haram means West education is a sin. Ain't that something? Western education is a sin. And that kind of explains why they went into the school, girls. Because they felt they were learning Western education. Is that such a far-fetched idea? No. It was probably they were learning a little bit about the Western society and the little history that they wanted them to learn. So can you really? Okay. Now, I know this is going to sound a little controversial, but I'm going to ask the question anyway. You know, so is it wrong for them to not want girls and kids to learn Western education? Western philosophy. Now, I think that's their right. However, I do feel as though they should not have kidnapped them girls. I think there was other avenues that could have been used to make their point. But kidnapping 200 innocent girls makes a wrong statement. And again, you know, you have to ask this other question, too. Why do we really care? Is it really that important to us? You know, why should we care? That's their problem over there, right? We got enough issues here, and we need to take care of home first. And maybe you have a point. You know, we have going on. I think another one today, if I'm not mistaken. I think there was another shooting today. And, yeah, we have our problems with our mass shooting and, you know, our gun-on-gun crimes in the inner city, you know, a heroin problem in the suburbs. Of course, you know, you got your marijuana and all other kind of crazy stuff. Well, you know what? Why should we worry about them over in Africa? It doesn't really affect us. It has no direct correlation to anything with the States. So if they rescue the girls, they rescue them. If not, well, that's it. I guess they be where they are until, you know, they do one or the other. They sell them or give them back. Is that the way we're supposed to think? Is that the way a lot of Americans feel? Or do Americans or the population really paying any attention to it at all? These are some of the questions that just run through my head sometimes, and because you just don't hear about me anymore. You know, you can assume that everything is fine and everybody is working toward, you know, having the little girls rescued. But yet, is that a fact? We don't know. We can only speculate, but, you know, I think here in the United States, I'm really serious right now, that they don't care. They do not care. You know, if it got put up in mainstream news again, then, yeah, you hear a lot of rhetoric about how they can help and do this and do that. But until that time, they ain't gonna, the girls still going to be wherever they are in Africa. You know, I do say, and they're being treated well, but, you know, it needs to be done to get those young ladies back. That's the way I think, anyway. You know, sometimes my thinking is a little bit off, but that's the way I feel about it. Now, let's talk about this plane for a hot minute. This plane has been gone a long time, and it's amazing. You haven't heard much about what's going on now. I would think the fact that they have not found the plane is also a bit of an embarrassment to the Indian government. Malaysian government. My bad. And, you know, as families, you know, it's hard, number one, to lose someone, especially a loved one, or whoever was on the plane. But to have them out there and you in la-la land, basically, because you don't know whether they're gone or not. You can only presume that they're dead. Is that fair to any of the families? No. Should the government be pushed to work a little harder? They have turned the search over to private companies now. Yeah, to private companies. So me and you, the taxpayer, you know, we done paid our share for, you know, the military drones or whatever they had in the search. But now they have a private company out there. Once they recalculate the search area, now, it's amazing what they say they're going to have to redo the search area based on how fast the plane was going and, you know, the amount of fuel it used. Shouldn't we have done that the first time? The Malaysian government. Shouldn't that have been done the first time? Why now we're going to go back and recalculate, and now we're going to switch the search area to somewhere totally new? It's amazing. Now, what you're doing, once again, is giving the families of those pain out with false hope once again. Because as long as they keep swinging and saying, well, it may be here, maybe, you know, the families will never have closure. And to be honest, they closure will not happen until something is permanently said about where this plane is and where people are. Some people say, well, they may never find it. I'm kind of, they may never find this thing. I know it took 2 years to find that one that had crashed. 2 years to find that. But you would think with all this high-tech electronic stuff we got going on, satellites floating around in space, you know, telescopes and big old radars, there was no, this plane just vanished. It just vanished. You know, and I know some of y'all going to think I'm crazy, but I'm going to say, you know, there are some instances when people say, you know, they've seen UFOs and things. So maybe that's what happened. They encountered a UFO and two men and just rolled out with them. it's possible right now because they still haven't found the plane, have they? Nah. You know, but the plane is, it's somewhere. We can say that much. It's somewhere. Now, exactly where it is, have no clue. Apparently, they have no clue. The only one who knows are is the people that's on the plane. Now, I just thought about a great idea. You know, you have all these great psychs and mediums and things all over the world. Why don't you have the mediums meet up with the family and see if any of the family members come toward them to let them know they are all right? And then that would give you some idea of where the plane went down at and whether anybody survived. See how easy that was? I mean, it's too easy, right? It's just too easy, man. That is just too easy. Get us there. Yeah, that's a great idea. You know, get a psychic, a medium, or whatever you want to do. Hey, if some of you are brave enough, get a Ouija board and sit down and ask the questions. You ain't get an answer. You just might say, I am that were on Malaysia Flight 370 that disappeared a while ago. I mean, really, man. On a serious tip, though, I really think that either they go ahead and you know say, okay, look, that's it. You know, we're presuming everybody's dead. You know, the search is over with it, and just go on with life. You know, but as long as I do have the inclination, though, as long as they continue to come up with things, say, well, we find the search area and this and that, it just gives the families of those pastors just that little ray of hope that will keep them from really accepting that their family member may be gone. Of course, you know, that's just me talking. And a few things that was on my mind when, you know, came on the air, and I had to get it out there, you know, because that's the way I is. I have to get them out there. I'm sorry, that wasn't proper grammar, and grammar should be spoken correctly as per the King's English, the Queen's English, whatever. Whatever, I don't talk like I want at all because I can't talk like I want at all. All right. So, you know, those couple things I wanted to talk about, you know, because a lot of times we go and we get to talking And we need to mention some of those things also that really need to be mentioned to keep, you know, so you keep them in your, at least in your prayers for those that, you know, do believe in. Now, for those that don't believe in prayer, how you do it, you know, you do your dang on thing. All right. I guess it's time for some shout outs now. Let's see, in the chat room, we got Deep H2O, we got Divine Design, we got guests 1115, 1119, and 1144 in the house. Welcome to the show, y'all. I hope everybody's having fun, and you're getting, you're settling in, you're getting it done. Woo, doggy. All right. Of course, I, you know, I got forward. And they kind of ready to run roll with me today, which is always a great thing. Like I say, I enjoy hearing from you. If you got something you want to add to the show, just give me a call, 347-838-862. We got 2.5 hours to get it done, so I'm sure we can make it happen. All right? So hold on. Let me bring somebody in and get this thing rocking and rolling, because there's a few things I want to talk about today. Okay, let's see. 111. Hey, Joe, what's going on? Uh-oh, it's not Joe, is it? Uh-oh.
Joe does not have a voice of thunder like I do. What's up, Mr. Todd?
What's going on?
Not much, man. I'm sitting back listening to you, man. It's your job to entertain me, so I'm listening.
It's my job to entertain you.
Yes, exactly. No, you're the host of the show. I call here. It says Mr. Talk. So, Mr. Talk, please talk to me.
All right, well, it's not my job to entertain you, okay? You have to entertain yourself. You should.
I think we entertain each other.
Yeah.
But what's going on, bro?
Nothing. Just some thought processes out. Look, I was about to tell you, you should never tell another man he's got to entertain you. That don't sound good. You know what
oh
I mean?
My goodness. Oh my, see. And you talking about me. How dare you talk about my mind? Wow.
Hey, I'm just giving it
after that, man, you can't say nothing else about me, man. See where your mind went? You always talk about Michael mind. We need to talk about Mr. Talk mind.
look, let's be everybody know. Oh, Lord. Turn your volume down or something, boy. You're killing my ears. I don't know.
No, I had you on speakerphone. I'm better. I had you on speakerphone.
Okay, yeah, that's better. Because you was killing me there for a minute. Okay. Now, you know, I was just basically, you know, putting out about, you know, it's amazing how we haven't heard of anything about them 200 girls in Nigeria and, you know, about the plane. You know, how every time they say they're recalculating this or recalculating that, you know, they're doing nothing but giving more false hope to those families and denying them the closure that's needed for them to move on, for them, a lot of them. Well, that's all I was saying. Nothing, you know, nothing major yet.
Yeah, it's a mystery. Right. You know? And they're saying that the government, you know, and they were... I thought they were Muslim, but at first it was a Christian school, and they, you know, they took the girls. I don't know if it has the religious beliefs or prisoners, and then, you know, because I remember that show you had, and I was like, well, the government usually don't negotiate and exchange prisoners, but Obama just exchanged these 5 prisoners for this 1 soldier, so I don't know, man. It's up with the government. I don't. It's tough to call. It's just sad to see somebody that's going to go ahead and take 200 girls to prove any type of point that they want to prove. It's pitiful.
Well, as I was saying earlier, you know, the group name Boko Haram means Western education is a sin. So I think that kind of explains, you know, their thought process, you know, and their reasoning for going in and kidnapping them 200 little girls. You know, of course, plus the Adam has leverage, you know, to try and get some of their people back released. You know, it's interesting because the military, the Nigerian military said, okay, we know where they are. And I basically was stating that it's been like 2 weeks and you said this, but yet we haven't heard anything about the little girls. So if you know where they are, what is the problem? You know, I think this is like an embarrassment, somewhat of an embarrassment to the Nigerian government, because they're like, wow, you know, this is really on a national stage right now. I mean, a global stage. So,
right. And I hear people talking about going back to Africa and things of that nature. And I said, okay, you can do whatever you want, but you have to. No matter where you go in this country, it's another set of rules and laws in Nigeria, South Africa, all of these African countries. So you know, it's politics being played in other parts of the country. You know, and we talk about America a lot. There's some dirty politics going in a whole lot of countries, man. And some of the politicians may become on, their different ideology on how things should be ran, how women should be treated on, you know, things of that nature. So it's tough. So you got to watch out what politics, you know, you're going into. Even when you travel, you got to watch the politics before you go into certain parts of Africa. You got to be abreast of what the country's going on. I mean, you might be going to a country where they just have, you know, some kidnappings, you know, some a string of kidnappings in that country, you know, kidnapping tourists. I'm just saying, you know, but you just have to be aware. That's all. So,
well,
it's tough.
Well, yeah. Let's put it simple. If you're American traveling anywhere overseas now, your head needs to be on swivel. You know, there's nowhere that's really safe anymore for quote unquote a Westerner, you know, because that's what you consider more or less a Westerner.
Well, you don't supposed to dress like a Westerner. You don't have no American "I love America" on your shirt. Don't wear no American shirts. No, don't wear nothing saying them on no football teams. If you over East, wear plain shirts. Don't have nothing that's promoting America. That's all I'm saying. That's one advice.
Well, but you know, that is the arrogance. That's the arrogance that America has. You know, we go anywhere, we wear what we want to because we're untouchable and we have the biggest army around. And
well,
I think that's proven differently now.
Well, I think any time that you go to travel, somebody needs to brief you and you need to be abreast on the politics there, where you're going at. And I'm just saying, in these type of, like over in Kenya and, you know, certain areas, malls, they attack Americans. So, I mean, I'm just saying, you know, it is what it is. Just a precaution. I mean, you know, just be mindful. I'm just saying, I wouldn't wear a big, you know, Texas shirt, you know, and red, white, and blue, and I'm walking out. I wouldn't, you know.
Well, you know, but here's the thing. Also,
certain parts of the Middle East, right?
Depend on where you're going. You know, a lot of people think that a lot of these countries are, you know, just wear their traditional garb. When in a lot of places, you know, they do wear Western type clothes. You know, they wear jeans and they wear T-shirts with writing on.
Well, they do, right. Right, but they don't wear nothing advertising America, though. I'm just saying, if as a tourist, I wouldn't wear nothing advertising that I love America.
Well, actually, they do. You see some of them with Sean John and all that on. Oh yeah, they
do it. No, I'm talking about, let's say you just like a 4th of July shirt or something advertising America. Sean John, that's different. I'm not saying polo, nothing like that. I'm just saying, having something that sticks out saying that you may support America. Not saying you do. I'm just saying wearing an outfit because people will try to, you know, pick you out, tourists, kidnapping, things of that nature. So,
well,
I'm
going to have to disagree with you because I've seen some Iraqis walking around with Dallas Cowboys shirts. So, yeah, they do. You know, you just have to be aware of your surroundings and where you are. But hold on, we got another caller want to come in. So
man go over there with a Dallas Cowboys shirt on. I guarantee that they'll stick out like a sore thumb.
Okay. All right. 111, welcome to the show. Who do I have here?
Oh, good evening. Good afternoon. Mr. Beasley, how you doing?
We're doing fine, Beasley. How are you today?
Well.
Okay. You all right?
I'm fine.
Okay, all right. Fine, Michael, you're not going to speak? Or you and Mr. Beeland had a falling out?
I don't have to speak to him. I mean, I can listen to him. What you ordering me to speak, Mr. Talk? I'm good.
All right, my bad. Anyway, how much did you hear of the conversation there, Mr. Beasley?
Oh, I heard, I was trying to make some sense out of it, but I heard from you talking about Boko Haram, the definition of Boko Haram.
Uh-huh, yeah.
What it means and how people feel you shouldn't travel, what you shouldn't wear when you travel out of the country.
Yeah, that was a side street we went down for a hot minute.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, my
I don't
main...
know. I keep my head on swivel right here in the United States of America. It goes down here too.
That's a good point.
Might not get kidnapped because you're an American, but you can. But think something can happen to you.
Yeah, that's a good point. You know,
so I would never turn off being alert and aware of my surroundings and what's going on.
But, you know, as I was saying, at one time, you know, Americans was just that arrogant, though. You know, the presumption that, you know, we ain't nobody going to bother us over here because we from America. You know, everybody love us, you know.
Yeah, but people travel, and there's probably Americans in every country on the globe without things happening to them.
Yeah, that's true. That is true. But
you know,
I still say, you know, the way things going
almost,
now.
I think that's almost, it's almost the luck of the draw. You know?
It's the luck of the draw. I like that. Okay.
I mean, but what are your chances of going out and someone pulling a gun and putting a gun in your face here in America and getting robbed when you're leaving the ATM or something?
Well, I mean, depends on where you live at. I guess your odds depend on where you live at.
Yeah, that could happen anywhere.
Yeah. You know, in some places it's more frequent than others.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. So it just depends on where you are. But speaking of frequency and stuff, Al-Qaeda-backed insurgents, they've taken over Mosul, Tikrit, and they say they're moving toward Baghdad, and the president over there wants to he wants help. He wants help, at least air support, you know. And this is in Iraq now. You know, the same places we done went over there and supposedly liberated everybody. You know, now we told them when we were leaving, we done gone, and here comes Al-Qaeda-backed people, groups already taking over. So, I don't know.
That's spillover from Syria. And
that's what it is?
Well, I read an article about it that said just that spillover from Syria. You're not ready to go? Mike should go on and put on his uniform and go stop him.
No. You know, and I think that's the thing. I think because they say the president was like, he's debating real hard. Because you can't, I mean, what purpose would it be to go and put boots back on the ground over there just to do the same thing for the same thing to happen all over again? I don't think that's a wise move. And I've also heard Limbaugh, Rush Limbaugh that day, on his show saying, well, this is a good opportunity for the Democrats. Now, you know, once again, we into this Democrat-Republican say thing. The Democrats to say that why did Bush have us over there anyway? It didn't work, and it never was going to work, and we were over there unnecessarily. So why not let it? He was saying, why not let the president just go ahead and let the insurgents go on to take over? I mean, is that? I mean, what kind of thinking is that? That's kind of just backwood. Political nonsense. That's what I think it is.
But it's a valid question. And why did we go over there in the first place?
Well, I mean, come on.
And be there for 10 years, only to leave and you know who's Al Qaeda? Al Qaeda's not popular in Iraq. That's some hype. That in fact, most of the Muslim world isn't in favor of Al-Qaeda.
Right, right.
Whoever Al-Qaeda is, because they decided a while ago that Al-Qaeda is killing other Muslims. That
yes,
they're
they
disruptive.
Are.
That they're a disruptive force. Whomever Al-Qaeda was. So it doesn't necessarily have to be Al-Qaeda. It could just be, you know, groups of people. You know, I'm not sure. But I'm sure Mike knows.
Well, I think, well, I think it's just, how can I put it? It's just a group of people, what they call them, militant Islamists that just, you know, believe in a different form of Islam than the majority. So, I mean, but see, here's the thing. So you have so many different factions of Islam. It's hard to determine what, you know, who's doing what. So what do we
you don't even know that the people that are taking over these cities, and it's mostly in the north. But the people that are taking over these cities, you don't know if they're even religious.
Yeah.
You assume that they're religious.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's a real vague term.
What's a vague term?
Calling them, you know, extremist Muslims or calling them Al-Qaeda or...
Well, you know, that's one of those keywords to get the you know, get you all up in arms and stuff. You hear Al-Qaeda and all the thing you think of is what? Pillaging and suicide bombers and 9/11. You know, they're just one of them keywords to keep you hype about nothing, basically.
I'm still trying to figure out who they are.
Well, I got in the chat room.
Is it Qaeda or Qaeda? Al-Qaeda or Al-Qaeda? Same difference. Don't matter.
Same people. Let's see. Divine Design in the chat room say former British Foreign Secretary Robin Cook told the House of Commons that Al-Qaeda is not really a terrorist group, but a database of international mujahideen and arms smugglers used by the CIA and Saudis to funnel guerrillas, arms, and money into Soviet-occupied Afghanistan. Huh. Well, does that seem far-fetched? No. No. You know, I don't think so anyway. You know, I can actually believe that. Mujahideen, yeah. You know, now the question is, you know, H2O says during the Soviet and Afghan war back in 80. All right, well, I went into that back in 80. I ain't going to tell y'all what I was doing, but I wasn't into that back then. But, you know, but if you fast forward to today, I think that's something that may be not as necessarily true now. I think it's just some, but basically some Muslim that's unhappy and they don't, you know, and they believe in anything got to do with the Western world, especially America. You know, it's no good. It's evil. Or in Supreme's term, it's the devil and needs to be destroyed. I mean, you can't fight that. You know, and I've told people quite often, you know, how can you fight someone, right? How can you fight someone that don't mind dying, that doesn't mind dying for what they believe in? How can you fight someone like that? How can you even, you know, you understand what I'm saying?
Do you think that's everybody, though? That's not everybody. I remember in the first Gulf War, after they bombed a lot, that these Iraqi soldiers were surrendering.
Well, yeah. Well, and they surrendered because they were hungry. Yeah, because they were hungry. They didn't have no food. They was out there in the middle of the desert.
But they're not. Then they were surrendering because they weren't ready to die.
Well, okay, you can look at it that way, too. You can look at it that way, too.
I mean, that's what I'm...
I understand your point. But see, here's the question. Here's the thing. But these guys are. You know, how many of us going to walk around with a bomb strapped to our body and going to walk in somewhere and set it off? I don't know. I'm sorry. That's not me. I'm not going to do it. You know, if I do anything, I'm trying to call somebody to help get it off of me. You know, so, you know, that when you have an enemy such as that, man, it's hard. It's hard. It is hard because that's not what, you know, that's not nothing you can do about that. Let's see, H2O say that's not what they do. Okay, H2O. You know, then you have the car bombs and, you know, man, I tell you. Mm-mm-mm. And then you got the IEDs on the side of the road, you know, and you know, it's like warfare without the trees.
what do you really expect people in a country to do when their country's invaded?
Now, see, that's a strong word. That's a strong word right there. Did we really invade that country? Or
absolutely.
Were we
absolutely. You sent to bomb the country and have been bombing it for ages and invaded it two different times. And
okay.
Bombed the country multiple times. There were bombings after the Gulf War. I remember Clinton ordered them. You bomb a country for years. You impose what the sanctions are another thing, but then you invade the country and you don't expect the people to fight back at all? They're the insurgent? Come on. You guys let this media whip you around instead of taking a step back and looking at things the way they really are.
But really?
If anything, the United States were the insurgents into that country. You guys got that Yankee Doodle Dandy stuff where it stopped you from being objective. I'm serious.
Who is y'all?
You seem to have it. You seem to have it.
Let me go on to clarify something.
But hold on. The United States bombed and invaded Iraq.
Okay. I know this. I was there.
Right.
Both
so,
times.
So these people, there's something wrong with these people for defending their country or taking extreme measures to react against the invaders.
Okay. Now, as I was going to say, I was there both times. I was there in between when things were going on that everybody else didn't know about. So I know exactly what you're talking about, Beasley. But here's my thing. Okay. Still, if that's the case, then why is it still going on now after, you know, the occupiers have left? Why are we still having this now?
Because who's in power or who's in power are the puppets that the United States left behind.
Oh. Which was, I think that was, the Shiites? The Shiites in control of the parliament or whatever they got up going on over there?
I'm not sure, but you better believe that they're loyal to the United States. They don't want it. It was the government that the United States put in there, whether it was an election or not.
Yeah, I agree with that one. I agree. But you know, I mean, who didn't see that coming? Really? Who didn't? And to be honest with you. Beyond the soldiers, you know, when I was over there, we discussed it all the time, you know, and we said, once this thing ends here, it's going back to the way it was. There's no way you're going to stop it because that's the way they have been doing for years, for centuries, decades, you know, so
doing
just
what? Not wanting a puppet government that was installed by people that occupied their country.
Right.
I'll go ahead and say it. It's most Americans and military people, you seem to be convinced that whatever we do is right. Because your job is not to question why. Let me finish. Your job isn't to question why. Your job is to do or die.
Okay, hold on.
Civilians, some civilians that think questions the actions of what's going on.
All right, now, since I got the time to talk now, look, Beasley, I, myself included, there's a whole lot of us that know what really went on from what we were told, because we were there to witness it, okay? We know this. Now, as far as doing what we told, you know, see, what people don't understand, you know, when you're in the military and you do this day in, day out, it's your job. That's what you do. Okay, that's what you do. When push comes to shove, if you have to, you're going to send some rounds downrange. It's just that simple. Now, whether you like it or not, that's your own personal beliefs. You know, and that's something you have to deal with internally. But just because you're being told one thing, a lot of soldiers have more sense than a lot of individuals want to give them, because we are aware that of the propaganda and the bull crap that's going on behind, that's got us, you know, have us in harm's way, got the soldiers now in harm's way. And you know, it's like being in between a rock and a hard place. What you going to do? You're going to do another Bo Bird Dog and just decide to walk away and then end up captured with the by Al-Qaeda anyway? I mean, so, you know, you make some decisions that you just have to live with. But the bottom line is, you know, inside where it really counts, you know that this not right. It's not right. And we have no reason. We didn't have no reason to be there the first time. We didn't have a reason to be there the second time. And all those in-between things that was going on, we have no reason to be there then. It was just, you know, it just gets to this, the political side of it and the propaganda is what has everyone up in arms and the bullcrap. And we can go on all the way back to 9/11. We go all the way back there. Then you go back to the Cold War. What else? Grenada. I mean, you can go back all the way to where you can watch this political machine spread propaganda and mislead not only the citizens but the soldiers that have sworn to put their lives on the line, because, you know, even though they know they're being lied to, they just have to follow orders or pay the consequences. And 9 times 10, most of them, they don't want to go, you know, jail and court-martial and things like that. Nobody wants to do that and disgrace themselves and their family. They feel like they're a failure. You know, so I don't know, Beasley. I do know that your concept of a lot of military people, veterans and above, is absolutely wrong. You know, we know the bull crap. We had to live it every day. You know, but it comes down
and
to
you don't have a choice, and you have to do and you have to do what you're told. But don't tell me that my concept is anti-war. That
Beasley.
War is wrong and killing people's wrong.
Beasley.
Now let
Beasley.
Me tell you my concept.
No, I'll listen to what I got to say. All right, now. What am I going to say? Oh yeah. Now, you don't just because you're there, you still don't have to do it. You see what I'm saying? You still have a choice.
Yeah, but so you're going to get court-martialed and thrown in the brig?
That's why I say, but with that, those choices come consequences. Just like if you go out there and decide to fight, it's still a consequence that you know, a chance you may die. Correct?
Right. That's why I don't know anybody would sign up for that shit. I don't get it.
Okay, well, I'm not even going to get into that with you.
All right.
I'm not even going to go into
that.
I mean,
I just got a common sense attitude. You know, excuse me if I'm wrong or if you don't agree.
You know, if that's –
and so many people get so butthurt behind someone just having a different opinion than them. I don't know what makes military people – have the need for validation so much.
Well, I disagree. You know what?
People are viciously angry at me because I don't really think war is a good thing, and I know that killing people isn't a good thing.
You know what, Beasley? Speaking for veterans, we don't need no damn validation. We don't. I mean, you know, who battles for us more than anything is the civilians that haven't been there, and you know, they're grateful. But we don't need no validation. We know what we've been through. We know what we put on the line. So that, you know, I'm not even going to go for that one. We don't need no validation. I'm sure.
Why does it matter so much that I have an opinion that doesn't fit in? That then why does my opinion make these military folks so angry?
You know,
and these are the same people, with all due respect, Mr. Talk, that tell me they went over there to fight for my freedoms. But they get upset when I exercise my freedoms.
Well, I mean, come on.
That's illogical to me. We don't have to talk about this because I know you're going to get hot and bothered and start shooting me.
No, I'm not. I mean,
And you're not the only one. But, you know, part of our society is freedom of thought and freedom of speech. And I'm told that you guys are going over there invading countries to fight and protect my freedoms, when I don't see it's true. The people that have harmed or curtailed my freedoms is our very same government. That's who instituted the Patriot Act. It's our government is the NSA. It's our government that uses PRISM and the other techniques for high-tech spying. That's who's curtailed my freedoms. When they wanted Muhammad Ali to go over there to Vietnam, he said, "Ain't no Vietnamese ever called me nigga. Them Iraqis ain't done that much to me." That was a proxy war. That was a proxy war for oil, strategic interests, and some personal beef that he had against Saddam Hussein.
Okay. Well, we know this already. I mean, to tell us something we don't know. That's what I'm trying to get you to understand. The majority of us that went over there, we knew what it was all about. Let me give you a secret here. You know, and I deployed 16 times, and I'm not going to lie to you. After a while, I know what I said. Well, it's time to go and make some more money because we got extra pay for going. And I spent so much time over there, that's what it was about. Let me go and make me some more money. You know, the propaganda machine is hard. And if you realize, if you was actually there and listen to some of the conversation between the soldiers, you'd be surprised at how many are aware of the bull crap that you know, has us in certain places. But like I say, it's our choice. We choose to go and we do what we have to do and come on home. Now, the ones that usually get upset with you are the ones that feel, you know, that they have fought for your freedom. That's the way they feel. But personally, Beasley, I'll be honest with you. I don't give a damn what you say, because you just, like you say, you voicing your opinion, and that's what everybody had. That's what everybody have. Myself, you know, I don't need validation. I did what I needed to do. I did it for 21 years, and I said enough was enough, and I rolled out. I don't need anybody else to validate me, because that's a waste of time. If you're doing that, then you really have you don't really know who you are. So, you know, that's like I said at the end. Shoot, if you can't laugh at yourself, Aaron, you know, you in trouble anyway. And that's the way I feel. If you need somebody else to validate you, then you just out there in the wind some dang on where. And you need to check that. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, people have said that I'm a coward. I'm a coward because I didn't go somewhere and take work. Come on. That's so ridiculous.
Let me tell you about that word. You know, that's a word that's thrown out.
I'm a coward because I had other options besides doing that. That's something I would never want to do.
Well, you know, that's like the bold bird dog. They call him a coward and stuff. Now, if you go back and look at his records and stuff, it shows that this is not the first time this kid has walked off from anywhere. So what does that tell me? He wasn't a coward. He just had mental problems that nobody in his chain of command decided they wanted to sit down and take care of. They rather look at him and say he was mentally ill. I mean, he was just weird and spazzy than to sit down and say, look, we need to get this soldier some help. So, you know, weird and what the word you just used? I'm sorry. I got on the roll then. What the word you just used?
I'm not sure.
Okay. Anyway. coward. You know, I remember when I first had to go over to Saudi, and I'm not going to lie to you, we was standing in our order room. That's like our office. And word came down. Word came down. And I tell you, I saw a 35-year-old man break down, fall on his knees, and just boo-hoo like a baby. You know, and I'm looking at him like, really, dude? Really? This is what it comes to now, huh? You know, and I think the real cowards are those individuals that take the opportunity to bash soldiers, not because they're exercising their freedom, just because more or less they're jealous and wish it could have been them. That's the way I feel about it. You know, I may be wrong. This is just my opinion. But I feel a lot of times when people get to bashing and saying negative stuff, you know, it just comes down to one thing. You know, either they're jealous of you and they wish they had or what you got or what you've been through, or they just, you know, they just evil.
If I bashed anyone or anyone felt I was bashed, I'm just reacting to what's coming at me for having an opinion. And I'm also responding to the Yankee Doodle Dandy bullshit that they've got programmed in their head and the little catchphrases that they use, that they're fighting for my freedoms.
Well, you know, and let's get this straight.
And that's such a ridiculous statement.
Well, you know, that was another part of the propaganda machine that was going on. Remember...
But you know what? You will hear people repeat that and just say that without even having thought about it.
Of course, yeah. Because you have to realize, Beasley, it's driven in your head so many times. You see all these commercials, you know, about, you know, protecting the freedom and so forth and so on. You know, they're
well, excuse me for just taking a step back and looking at it and coming up with a different take on it.
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm not knocking you, Beasley. I do the same thing. I do. I step back and take a different look at it, you know, and you'd be surprised at what I say around this house and even here on the show. You know, I'm not scared to say it. It was bull crap. We went over there for bull crap. You know, my thing is got paid. You know, I got paid. I came back in one piece. Now, I have some friends that weren't so fortunate. You know, a couple have passed on. You know, I learned a couple of my soldiers that I raised. They, you know, lost their lives over there. So, you know, it's still a little stinging.
Chef Rob went furious on me on another show and said that I'm desecrating the memory of his friends. Like I killed them. Like I had something to do with killing them.
Well, you have to understand.
No, maybe it's too emotional a subject that I shouldn't have never spoken opinion on. I should have just did what everyone else does. Oh, that's great. I'm glad you were fighting for my freedoms.
Well, you know.
Mike is the one that feels the strongest about it. Like this is something I should be embarrassed of. The dude on the other show said I'm lower than a piece of shit.
Well. I mean, in your words,
this is the kind of stuff you get back from people that are telling you that they're telling you that they're fighting for your freedoms. They don't give a shit about my freedoms.
You know.
So that and that compounds the bullshit.
Yeah, well,
not only do you believe the bullshit that the government dished out to you, but you believed it so much that when someone questions the entire mission and your life choice, you condemn them before you could think about it because it's too painful, because it's just too difficult to look at it from another person's viewpoint.
Well, yeah. Oh, I can't even argue with you there, Beasley. I really can't because
I understand what they're going through. Yeah. I got an idea what they're going through.
Okay, I don't know about that part, but okay.
No, I got an idea.
You have an idea?
I got an idea just because I didn't experience it. I got an idea.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Eisenhower said war is hell. There's nothing nice about war.
No.
You'd rather be at home going to baseball games and barbecues.
you know what, Beasley? To be honest with you, that was the I think that was the biggest thing right there. You know, you don't get me wrong. You ride out. You know, you expecting contact from the enemy and so forth. And you know, in most days, you're like, oh well, just another day. You know, and that's what it does. It becomes another day. You're like, man, really? Really? So, you know, I understand what you're saying, but you know, as far as being a soldier at that time, you know, you're locked in because you know that's what you paid to do, that's what you volunteered to do, and you just locked in. Now, I got to admit, there are some that's, you know, I guess you can say highly patriotic that, you know, as you say, will go at you like that. But I think my eyes, well, my nose, my eyes, my coattail was pulled to the whole thing a long time ago. So I think I had a different outlook on it, you know, and a lot of individuals never took the time to step back and look at it that way. You know, because if you went, and I think a lot of the veterans that went to Iraq after 9/11, you know, they were arguing with you more than the ones that went to Saudi, you know, went to the Gulf War and then to Iraq, because it's
a different level of action.
Right, and you are aware of exactly, you know, what went on and the bull crap that, you know, they leading you. And
how many U.S. soldiers died in the Gulf War?
150,
200?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, it was real light.
Yeah. Yeah. You know.
When George Bush flew that plane on that aircraft carrier and declared victory that the mission was accomplished, I think there was only about 150 soldiers that had died then.
Yes, that's right. That is absolutely right. You're right, man.
And one of the soldiers was a guy that was the security guard in my building who was particularly obtuse and difficult.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think Pat Tillman was a hero?
I think Pat Tillman was just a football player that wanted to serve his country. That's fine, but he knew the consequences to him doing it. Now, as far as him being a hero, no, he played football. Okay, he played football. He gave up a big contract. Really, I think he was crazy as hell myself. I'm not gonna lie to y'all. I cussed twice on the show today, but I tell you, I apologize, y'all. But I think he crazy as a bed bug. You know, because I wouldn't have done it. I'll be honest with you. I would not have done it. You know, and then to find out
now,
it was friendly fire, you know. And
the friendly fire might not have been that friendly.
Yeah, exactly. You know.
He may have even been murdered. And then look at how the government treated his family afterwards.
Well, you know what? I don't know where everybody get this great idea that the government treats you so well. You know, because if you want to fight on your hand, have someone pass in the military and see what happens. You better hope everything is in order, every paper, a T is crossed, every I dotted. Because if not, whoo, man, you got to fight on your hands. That's all I'm saying. 803, call back in. I ain't mean to ignore you. We're just having a conversation. Call back in. I want to hear what you got to say. You know, Mrs. Talk said.
You know, they may not have to treat you, you know, they probably don't, but I guess the truth is too much to ask for.
Look.
And, you know, that's part of my problem with all of this.
What?
That so much of it is built on a lie.
Yeah. But so much of it, all of it is built on a lie. That's the thing.
I'm a Sagittarius. I have a difficulty with people lying to me. I like the truth.
Mrs. Talk says the U.S. is a big bully and they should not have gone anywhere. Of course, that's what I say. So, but hold on. We got South Carolina in the house, so let me bring him on the line. But you know what, Beasley? Also, you know, most real veterans, veterans that really went through something, they don't talk about it. They can care less. You know what I mean?
I know that. I was a member of this Fancy Mems Club in downtown Los Angeles when John Kerry was running for president, and he started talking about the Swift Boat stuff or something, and that came up. And those dudes were pissed.
They said
it happened a long time ago. Leave it there. He's pissing the people off.
Yeah, see, we don't
talk.
These
are older dudes. They didn't want it. They didn't want to rehash it.
Mm-mm, not at all. You know,
they didn't want to rehash it. They didn't want to stir up those emotions.
Right.
And those were troops that experienced coming home. You know, whatever else you're going through, coming home and not feeling appreciated.
Right. Right.
with an American public that had turned against the war.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yep. And you know what? And that's why you hear so much of this welcome home now. You know, they're trying to make up for it. And you're like, okay, whatever. You know, and I'm going to lie to you. I got tired of hearing it. I still get tired of hearing it. I'm like, okay, it was my job. What are you talking about? But hold on for a minute. Let me bring 803 in because I know they're waiting. All right, let's see, air code 803. Who do I have here? And welcome to the show.
Yeah, this is Michael Hood.
Well, hello, Mr. Hood. How are you?
What's going on, Eric?
Not much, man. So you got for me today?
I kind of agree, too, with Beasley. Oh, shit, people say agree with Beasley. But, I mean, yeah, well, I mean, what does it mean fighting for my freedom? You know, I mean, what I consider freedom, like really fighting for freedom, was World War One and World War Two. To me, all these other wars are just proxy wars for some bullshit. You know, so I still don't understand that. I mean, then you say, like, you're going to get paid. I mean, like, nowadays, I guess a lot of people just go over there to fight to get paid, and that's it. I mean, not really to bring a cause to really change something over there. You're just doing it to get paid.
Well, you have to understand, Hood, you know, there really is no cause over there. And that's what people fail to realize. There is no cause. You over there because politicians played a little political game and said, okay, now we need to go over there, secure this so we can make our money. You know, but how could they do that? They send soldiers over there. Heck, I mean, like I said, the ones of us that had our eyes open and our coattails pulled a long time ago, we were aware of that. We were. So why not go over there, you know, as long as we protect ourselves, protect our battle buddies, and you know, hey, take advantage, get paid, you know, build up money. You see what I'm saying? And you know, I mean, what? If you got to lay some lead down range, you go ahead and do that. That's what you do. But, and I'm not apologizing for anything, anyway, I'm thinking of what I'm saying today because I truly mean it. You know, as far as everybody saying, well, the veteran did, I don't give a care what you said or what you say because you are entitled to your opinion, and that's good. And I know what I did. I know why I did it, and I know what the after effects of it is, and so be it. You know, life is too short to worry about what other people think about you and what other people say. Because people are going to say bad things, going to say crazy stuff about you regardless, whether you're doing right or doing wrong. So, you know, as far as fighting for the freedom, the only person freedom I fought for was mine. Because everybody back here in the United States were living life as normal. I was over there, you know. I know somebody got mad at me for saying that. I was the one over there, you know, locked down and, you know, could cross the border on at a certain time and sleep in the truck and on the back of the trailer with my head, one eye open, one eye closed. You know, that's not freedom.
Even the
citizens there could walk around and do whatever the heck they wanted to. So who wasn't free? The soldiers that were over there. That's who wasn't free. Because we got caught up in some political bullcrap game of some old white man who wanted to finish what his papa or his pappy didn't finish. And that's what happened. And of course, you know, then he wasn't man enough that he let his vice president run it, Dick Cheney. He having heart attacks left and right, but he's still getting people in wars, plus having his company, private companies, go over there, set up, and make a killing. So tell me that's not political. And the ones of us talk about, man, you know what? And a lot of former soldiers have gone back over there as contractors and made more money. So, you know, we know the game. We know the game, and we choose to play it. And some of us play it very well, very dang on well. All right, I'm shut up now.
So, y'all was sitting over there to destabilize countries, I guess. I guess we're the big bully of the world, right? And what goes around comes around, right?
Yeah.
So I guess when we get invaded, we're going to have to protect ourselves, right?
Oh, if let them tell it, we already invaded. We just don't know it.
I mean, physically, physically with tanks rolling down the street, you look out your window, you see the United Nations coming down your street. So okay. Will American citizens depend on the American government or the military? No.
American citizens are strapped.
There's a purge going on in the military right now, the American military purge. They dismantling it right now. Because they know that your U.S. military will not fire on American citizens. They know that. So that's why they bring in the United Nations troops to do it, the foreign troops.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it's like what goes around goes around. I mean, if you want to be
when do you think, is this going to happen?
Shit, I don't know. I don't know. Shit, but it's going to happen, though. It might happen 30 years from now, 40. I don't know. It might happen today. I don't know, but it will happen, though.
Or it might not happen.
Hey, Hood.
Yeah.
Somebody knock on your door.
Right. Why would they knock? They would just kick in the door and shoot him. They didn't heard him talk too much.
Oh,
yeah.
Lord.
Yeah.
All right. Shoot me, too. Don't feel bad.
Hold on for a minute, man. Since we're on weapons, I got something I want y'all to hear, and we're going to discuss this. Because when I heard this, I fell out laughing because I'm like, really? I know they didn't say that. So listen to this clip. It's about 4 minutes and 45 seconds, and we're going to talk about it as soon as we get back. All right, see y'all on the other side.
Well, if it wasn't for their gun rights, folks, we wouldn't be a free society. Number one, it was one of the original reasons that we sought independence, that and taxation. You know, if without our gun rights, this president would be after us pretty hard. He's already tried several times to get them away from us. Fast and Furious is a prime example. A prime example. I firmly believe if you've never read the book Fast and Furious by Katie Pavage, I would offer to give it to you if I had one here. It has so much insight on what actually transpired. And that is just one of the several schemes that this administration has had in their pocket trying to take our gun rights away. I'm going to tell you, I'm a firm believer in our gun rights. I probably have more guns and ammo than any one of my competitors because I'm from the country. It's a long ways to town to buy ammo. But I will tell you, it is time that Americans stood up for our gun rights. It's totally ridiculous if you look at all of the fiascos that have occurred. 99% of them have been by Democrats pulling their guns out and shooting people. So I don't think you have a problem with the Republicans. But I can assure you, if you don't have a firearm, you ought to go buy one. Because the county that I grew up in, my cousins were on the county commissioner's board when they passed the law that everyone in the county had to own a firearm. So I can assure you, I am darn sure for each and every one of you on the farm, if you can't afford one, I'll probably loan you one. Thank you.
Gun control. control is using both hands when you're aiming at the target. I have 100% pro Second Amendment voting record in the state legislature, and we have to fight. We have to fight because Ann Kirkpatrick has said that all options are on the table. She has said that publicly when it comes to our Second Amendment rights. That is a very scary situation. And it goes a lot farther than just gun ownership. I'm a life member of the NRA. I am the worst duck hunter you have ever met. I'm a great dove hunter, but I cannot hit a duck worth anything. It's terrible. But it's not just about hunting. It's not just about hunting. It's a God-given natural right to keep and bear arms. And that, and it's, for those of you who don't know, I'm a practicing Jew. I'm a practicing member of the Jewish faith. Let me tell you, what having that experience, knowing what's happened to my people in Nazi Germany when they came for the firearms first. It's exactly what the British did. It's what the Nazis did. They come for the firearms. They come from the way for you to protect yourself, and you're finished. It's very personal for me, Second Amendment ownership and gun ownership. Also, I'm really proud to serve with Steve Smith, who fought against the out-of-control cities who were forcing gun buyback programs on people, who were destroying guns, who were destroying firearms, who want to make sure that we can't legally carry safely as God-fearing, law-abiding citizens wherever we go. It's a very sad state of affairs of what some of these liberal cities like Tucson are doing. And the state of Arizona has stepped in to protect yours and my Second Amendment liberties, Second Amendment rights. Will fight in Washington. There's no doubt about that. They will never, ever put you on a gun registry when I'm there. They will never, ever limit your capacity when I'm there. But it's about the minutia. They take inch by inch. We can't let them give anything. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, that was this is a Republican that's running for office in Pinal County, P-I-N-A-L. That's somewhere in California, I think. And his name was, what his name is? Dang it. Kine, something Kine. Hold on, let me find his name. His name is Gary Kine, K-I-E-H-N-E. And he's running. He's a Republican businessman running for Arizona's congressional district, first congressional district. So it's Arizona. And, you know, I thought it was just amazing. I mean, I think it's quite bold that he just come out and said most of the mass shootings are done by 99% that Democrats. You know, I'm like, really? How does he know that? You know, and then of course he mentioned the big one, the gun running thing. What's the name of that? Fast and Furious. The Fast and the Furious. Well, here's another problem with that. It seems that Republicans have forgotten about Operation Wide Receiver. You know, that went on during the Bush administration that turned out to be a fiasco also. You know, which basically involved a guy named Mike Dettey. You know, who was a gun runner that worked for the ATF. So, you know, and I say this, I'm bringing this up because that just goes to show, you know, people, they just clapping. That goes to show how uninformed the voting public is, and they fall for any dang old thing. They really do. And I just find it just crazy. You know, after all this going on, they still falling for little games like this. Okay, this is just my opinion, of course, but you know, that really says something about how dumb our voters are. You know, or is it so bad that they just want to believe that someone else is going to do right? And if he say the right things, and if they believe in guns, he believe in guns, everything is all right, he going to get elected that way. He can make some money and do what he want to do also in Congress like the rest of them do. So that's my opinion. What do y'all think about that? Anybody? Don't everybody talk at one time. Okay, I guess everybody went to make me lunch or something, huh? Well, anyway, so, you know, Operation Wide Receiver, The Fast and the Furious, and we're not talking about the movie, was, you know, it's crazy because with the like with the switch of prisoners, little does everyone know Bush had a prisoner swap too while he was in office, but you didn't hear a lot about that, did you? See, and that's what I'm saying. You know, a lot of times you see what they doing on the top of the water. You know, on the water, everything's smooth. You throw stuff out there, but the big thing is what's going on under the water. You know what I mean? Because that's where the money is being made at right there. But of course, you know, this being a political year basically for Congress, you know, come November, you know, the Republicans got to run on whatever they can. And of course, what's the easiest way for them to do it? They attack the president. That's fine. You know, if they're not attacking the president, they're attacking Hillary. They're not attacking Hillary. They're attacking something that happened whenever. And don't get me wrong, the Democrats are doing it also. It's no big thing. But I think a lot of voters have put the Republicans, anyway, on notice when Eric Cantor got voted out this week. I do think that sent one hell of a message to basically everybody in Congress. Now, some say, well, you know, it was the Tea Party, so really it's not really much of a difference because they're really the same people. The one just, they just, ideologies are a little different. You know, one is more conservative than the other. Well, you can say that, but take Lindsey Graham in South Carolina. I mean, he did the same thing that Cantor did, and he won his race by what, 50% or something, 59%? You know, so
Eric. Please don't miss his name. We're going to burn him at the stake.
Okay, well, you let me finish my hood. You know, and before Hood interrupted me, I was about to say, and if anybody needs to leave office, be voted out of office, it's him, Lindsey Graham. You know, I mean, because this guy, him and that Dianne Feinstein woman, I tell you, man, them the big two jokers, and put John McCain in there, and man, them two flip-flop so bad, it's not even funny, you know. So, if you're going to vote, I'm telling you, if you are a voter and you're going to vote, make sure you're aware of who you voting for and why you voting for them. Don't go by these little crazy ads they put on TV, because it's like clips. You know, they can make them say what they want to. They can frame your mind to think one thing, and there's totally something else going on, you know. And don't get it twisted now. Mr. Cantor, he ain't going to be hurting anyway, because he's going to make a whole lot of money not even being in Congress. Besides his pension he's collecting, you know, his salary for being a congressman, hey, you know, you know what? It's a scam. And I do believe that we need to limit the amount of time that they're up there in Washington, because it was never meant for them to make a lifetime job out of it. It wasn't. It was meant for them to make a couple of laws, live by those laws, and get your butt out of there. That's what it meant. But somehow, you know, through the ingenious voting process that everybody agreed upon, you know, it has become to where they can stay as long as they want to, as long as they continue to be voted in. And I do believe that is a tragedy, and it really shouldn't be as tolerated anymore. But the only way we're going to do it is to start voting them old, worn out, do nothing for you congressmen and senators out of the dang on seats and put somebody else there. That's all I can say. Yeah, you're right. He'll become a lobbyist. You're right. And that's more money. You know, that's more money. And let's be honest, lobbyists run anyway. I seen something where somebody was asking, what was it? It was something I forgot now. But anyway, because they were asking, was the group strong enough to change laws or lobby for something? And I remember saying no. I said, but the LBGT, they got enough power to lobby and get anything they want right now. You know? I know. And you know what? Speaking of that, Rick Perry, the governor of Texas, y'all remember him? He forgot a lot of information when he's in a debate, right? What he would change once he got in office. Well, Rick Perry says he compares homosexuality to alcoholism. It could be on your DNA, but you choose not to perform the act. In other words, you can choose or not choose to be a homosexual. And he do believe you can go to a doctor and have therapy to take, you know, alleviate that issue with anyone. Now, he said this in San Francisco, and out of all places to say it, in San Francisco. I mean, he must have been high for real to say it in San Francisco. But, you know, that's what they do, man. That's the political world that we live in. And, of course, you know, the fallout has been great. Yeah, I'm sure, you know, he's just having fun. Of course, he's in his last term. He can't be no more as governor. Of course, there's some scuttlebutt that he'd be running for president again in 2016. Whoa, I tell you, can we stand another one of them Texas governors in the White House? I don't think so. Because it's, boy, you think Bush was bad. Oh, my goodness. Oh, boy, I tell you, it'd be something terrible, you know. But, hey, it is what it is, man. Those are just some of the things I want to bring up because, you know, you know, that's the way it is. It rolls. All right. So what else y'all got to talk about? Beasley, Michael, Hood, and Michael. Y'all got anything? Y'all comments or anything? Let's keep going.
I read that by 2029 that they're going to have a computer that's going to have human feelings and emotions, kind of like in the movie Her, which I didn't see.
Wow.
And you're going to be able to make it and program it to be the type of person that you like, that you're actually going to be able to have a relationship. It's going to have human qualities. You're actually going to have a relationship with your computer.
Now,
go ahead.
No, I was about to state, let's really look at it. Do you really want to have someone that's going to act exactly like you want them to? I mean, it sounds good in theory, but when you get that person or computer or whatever in front of you to act exactly like you want them to, are you really going to like that? Do you really want that?
I would love to have a woman to act exactly the way I wanted to. I don't know about a computer. I don't know about a computer. I think that whole thing is a little odd. But I would love to have a woman to act exactly the way I wanted to. Who wouldn't?
I don't know.
I mean, it's a pipe dream and a fallacy, but I think I could work with it.
I think it become monotonous and get kind of old. I mean, doing this, you know, honey, go and fix me a meal. You go in there and fix a meal. So what happened to when you gonna cook something for me? You know what I mean? I mean, hey, go run me some bath water. You don't never run my bath water.
Yeah, see, I've had that. Yeah, I guess we've all dealt with enough of the second part. I'd be cool with, just someone being agreeable. 99.9% of the time.
99%.
I guess it might get a little boring, but yeah.
Yeah, so you see my point?
I don't know. I guess I would prefer the boredom to conflict.
Oh, come on now.
I'm serious. I'm serious. Remember, we're different.
Wow. Yeah. Oh, man. Let me pass this on real fast. Ruby D, she passed today at the age of 91.
She had a ripe life.
Yes, and she was such a wonderful actress. And man, I tell you, I used to like Ruby Dee. Man, I tell you. Woo! You know, wow. That's amazing. But I don't want anybody to do everything I say. I find that boring, and that would drive me crazier than them not doing what I say. It really would. I'd be like, really? Come on now. You know, can't you do something wrong for a change?
That's a switch.
I know, right? You know, like, oh.
What happened to Mike? He just ran away.
I think Mike went to sleep and left his thing on.
Oh, went to sleep. He sounded wide awake. You know, I think he's in the, I don't know, I think he caught some feelings.
Well, yeah, or, you know, his medication. So, you know, he had to go in his little room with the white coat and to, you know, his medicate him again.
That's a good thing.
Let me stop. I like Mike. Mike all right with me. But, I don't know how that would be, though, Beasley. That is just like, no, don't do that. Don't do that. You know, in fact, I heard the other day that Mercedes has a car that drives itself.
That's scary, too.
Yes, that's very.
Would you trust the car to drive itself? How's the car going to? I don't even get it. I mean, I guess they would have the GPS, and I guess it could drive itself. I mean, I don't know how it tells if the lights are red or if someone pulls in front of you.
Uh huh.
Cruise control is good enough for me, and I don't even like that much.
Yeah.
Rarely use it when I'm on the freeway for a long distance.
You know, I was looking at the commercials where they had the car that supposedly stops on itself when it feels another vehicle in front of you. I was like, you know, I wouldn't trust that. I wouldn't trust that at all. I couldn't do that. Because it hit brakes when I don't want it to hit brakes, when I probably can maneuver around. So, nah, I don't think I like that either.
Today's the 20th anniversary of I think the freeway trace with OJ.
Oh yeah. In fact, I think CNN or MSNBC gonna have the whole thing all over again. You know, I know though. Who really needs to see that?
Yeah, I mean, I don't need to do that again. But I remember when it. I remember when it happened. The basketball game was on, and all I could do was think about the story. And, you know, and it was a mystery where he was, and all of a sudden he pops up, and they had the screen split.
That had to be one of the slowest police chases ever. I guess that's before they decided they was going to shoot everybody and ask the questions later.
You would have never figured at that point everything would have turned out the way that it has, that he would beat that case, that he looked pretty guilty. That he would beat that and then find a way to get himself in prison for a long time by doing something pretty foolish, recovering some old memorabilia of his.
You know what? That goes back to, like we were saying earlier in the week, that's just downright stupidity. That's all that is. You know, letting your greed and your hunger for fame get the best of you. You know, they were taking everything he had anyway, so why not just lay low? No, you gonna
they
go
weren't,
ahead and,
well, but, that's common sense. You're right. I mean, why, you know, if he did kill his wife, and he probably did, but why even take that? Why even go to that extreme?
Yeah.
Why, he had a beautiful life, and he had a beautiful life, and he had access to other women. He was obsessed with this woman, but I mean, an incredible life. It's beautiful over on that side of the city that he lives in.
Mm. I bet
play
it
golf
is.
Play golf every day. Made $2 or $3 million a year. Had endorsements. Had an incredible life. How do you screw that up?
Hey. Mm-hmm.
I mean, I guess you can, like a Greek tragedy, but it just doesn't make sense. You seem like you'd want to keep things just the way that they are.
Well, you know what that is, Beasley. That's believing in your own legend. You know what I mean? You're believing that you're untouchable and thinking the great boys will have your back no matter what. But I guess they showed him, huh? you get
in
yourself.
The end, he
huh?
helped him along.
Yeah,
he helped him along.
That's true. That is so true.
He made it easy for him.
You know what I find so interesting about that whole thing? Now, Al Collins was driving the vehicle. He never got charged. And then after that, you never heard from him again. Did anybody else ever notice that thing, whole case right there? You know,
he faded into the sunset.
Yeah.
And I think he was in the trial. He was called as a witness in the trial. But that was truly OJ's friend. He's probably still in touch with him now.
You know, I'll be honest with you. Looking at that whole thing and the way it went down, I don't think OJ did it. I think Al Collins did it. But nobody would ever suspect him. You know?
Well, I kind of figured it kind of early. I figured OJ did it, and they still planted evidence.
Yeah.
They threw the glove over the fence to give them a reason. To give them a reason to enter, that's probable cause for them to enter into the home and search and start looking around. And they dropped droplets of blood. They were going to frame a guilty man. And if you see the pictures of his hands, he has all kinds of cuts on his hands and his knuckles.
Wow. Well, hey. And then, you know, who lets another man live in a pool house behind Cato? You know, he didn't see anything. I'm telling you, man, that was a crazy case. And you're like, none of this is making sense.
No, truth sometimes is stranger than fiction. And it captured everybody's attention.
Well, that it did, didn't it?
That's one of the biggest stories. That's one of the biggest stories of my lifetime.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm. There was obstruction.
You know, someone eventually bought that house?
Of course.
And tore it down and built another house?
Really? Oh,
yeah.
Man. Could have made a whole lot of money off of them.
Yeah, someone bought that house and tore it down and built a whole new house. Beautiful, beautiful house. And by the time that I went over there to go see it, there wasn't a lot of press or anything over there. It had a small fence. You could have went up and knocked on the door if you wanted to.
Right.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I didn't really feel like it though. You know, I met OJ in 1999 outside of a play. His daughter was there, and his daughter's kind of fine. And my friend, she is. She was then.
Uh-huh.
I mean, yeah, she's kind of nice looking in shape, real nice.
Okay.
And I was making my way over there to say something to her. My friend said, oh, there goes OJ. He said, let's go mess with OJ. I said, I'm not going to mess with OJ. But sure enough, my friend went up to OJ, and they had done some acting, something together, and he chatted up with OJ. Then all of a sudden, this photographer came from out of nowhere. You know, the photographer that's at events where you pay for pictures?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
My friend took a picture with him. I said, well, check. I may as well take a picture with OJ. So I stood there to take a picture with him, and we were shaking hands, and the guy had to change the film in his camera. And I swear that was the longest 4 minutes of my life because I'm sitting there. And OJ's chest is massive. It's huge. And I'm not little, but it felt like that if he wanted to, he could just snatch one of my arms off like a chicken wing.
Uh-huh.
If he felt like it. So I sat there holding OJ's hand and like posing for a picture. And I was trying to think of what to say. And at the time, he was going through the... thing with the Brown family, with the custody of his kids. I said, oh, don't say anything about that. I said, you know, you're better off just not saying nothing. Can you imagine that?
Yeah.
So I just didn't say anything to him. And then when he walked away, I said, like, thanks, OJ. And my voice cracked. I was like, thanks, OJ. And he just looked at me and smiled. But, yeah, when I said, that's thanks, OJ. Came out all the bass, all the masculinity, all the testosterone was all out of my voice.
He held your hand and just took all your manhood, huh?
That's pretty frightening. It was not frightening, but it was like, damn, I'm sitting here with OJ, and he's gripping my hand good and got his other arm around me. I'm doing my best trying not to piss him off. I was thinking of what to say. I was like, just don't say shit. We sit there for 3 or 4 minutes. That was eerie.
Just holding hands.
Well, shaking hands, you know, posing for the picture, yeah. And the guy has to take the film out of the camera and put the film back in. It just happened like that.
Yeah, we would have to break lock or break hands for a moment or something. Hands sweating, and both your hands sweating together and carrying on.
Well, then we didn't know how long. Man.
I understand, Beasley. I understand. Being that you. Oh, Lord. All right, you did that on purpose.
No, I didn't do that on purpose, but I'm reliving the moment. That was a strange feeling. That was very uncomfortable feeling.
I felt like
if I'd have said the wrong thing, that he'd have just let me have it.
Oh, my goodness. Okay.
And I'm not sitting up there as a little man. I'm 215, 220 pounds that can handle myself. But OJ, his chest is just huge, and his shoulders are just real, real super broad. And this was back then. He was still, you know, close to 50.
Mm.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to tangle with OJ.
Have you ever met Pam Grier?
I've seen her before at the Red Lobster. I didn't say anything. She was with just with the white guy. But I've seen her, and that was about in the early 90s. I've seen her a couple times, and then
yeah.
I saw her at a movie premiere. But, yeah, it was just like, oh, there goes Pam Grier. See, in Los Angeles, real Los Angeles people don't go make a fuss out of people, you know. We notice them, but it's rare that we go up and say anything to them, you know.
Uh-huh.
I think that's changed now with the whole big celebrity culture. Be like, oh, there goes so-and-so, so-and-so. But over the years, you see so many people, it's amazing. I've seen Dean Martin and Frank Sinatra, Cicely Tyson. I've seen Jerry Lewis a number of times. People are out and about.
Yeah, well,
and
I mean,
you kind of notice them in whisper. You know, you kind of notice them in whispers. Like, is that so-and-so, so-and-so? Oh, yeah, that's them. Oh, look at them. And they, you know, they're just doing their thing. Regular people. Usually they're dressed down. They're not fancily dressed. And, you know, sometimes they'll be covered up. Dean Martin was driving down Wilshire Boulevard in Beverly Hills in a light blue Corniche. And the blue Corniche with the top down. He wanted people to notice him.
Well, I mean, some people need. That go back to what we was talking about earlier. Some people need that recognition.
Yeah, he apparently liked the recognition, but you get. It's still kind of exciting to see people, but no, God, I can go on and on and on and on.
Uh-huh.
Sugar Ray Leonard.
Uh-huh.
Let me stop.
I saw Dancing Bear one time.
Who's that?
You know who Dancing Bear is?
Dancing Bear, the Indian?
No, Mr. Green Jeans. And,
I really
and
don't know who that is.
Captain Kangaroo, man.
Oh, wow, I liked him too, man. I liked him a lot as a kid.
Yeah.
See, I would have broke my cool to went over and say hi to him. I would have broke cool. Well, I have for a couple of athletes.
No, you have for a couple of athletes.
Yeah, Jerry West, I saw him at the airport. Shook his hand. Dr. J. Magic Johnson. You just have to keep your eye out.
Well, you know, when you're talking about John, you ain't shake his hand, though, did you?
Magic Johnson? Yeah, but this is before.
This was
in the 80s. This was in the 80s. No, if Magic Johnson, I saw him now, I'd probably go the other way.
Oh, okay. I'm talking about Dr. J because they say he has some huge hands. I just wonder.
He's a big, tall dude, and he has some huge hands, yeah.
I mean, he's only 6'6", 6'7". He ain't that tall.
Yeah, when you're 5'11". when you're 5'11", 6'7", is plenty tall.
You're right. You are absolutely right. Look, they look like they're 7 feet. I grew up with a couple like that. I know, like, ah. But anyway, oh, man. I'm telling you, hey, man, you know what, H2O, quit tripping, man. Get tripping. Today is Thursday fun. Remember, Thursday fun. We didn't did the series, so now we're having a little fun.
Oh, he's hating again? Come on and call in. Come on.
Yeah. Come on, tell us about some of the people you worked with, you run into. We know you got a famous cousin or uncle or something like that, but come on. Come on. Talk about I'm good. Well, I'm really looking forward to meeting Pam Grier. Now, that's who I want to meet. I've had a crush on her forever and ever and ever, and I'm going to meet her one day.
I think she lives in Colorado.
Yeah, I know, man. It's cold up there.
There's a Twitter page.
I don't want to be the creepy person who likes
that. Yeah, right. You don't want to be creepy. I don't blame you.
No, I ain't going to do all that. No.
Show up outside her house with flowers.
Yeah, no. We not going to be doing any of that.
Right, that's creepy.
Yeah. All right, man. Hey, I wish Ebony was on the line. She can tell us about her show today. But I guess she will just be in the chat room. All right, y'all, we got 13 minutes left. There will be no overtime today. And I know she got a ranch. I go hang out on a ranch. I can ride a horse, as long as he's tiny. And I know she has a show today. I don't know what it's on, but I don't know. Let me see if I can go back and find it. I know she put it in here for a moment or two. Okay, I don't see it anymore. Ebony, if you're listening, call in so we can find out what your show is today. Or and if or he'll do it. Whoops. All right, who's hitting stuff now? Well, Beast next. No, okay. Beasley, what are you doing?
Oh, I thought I was on mute. I was typing.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, you was you were typing on a real typewriter?
No, on a on a keyboard.
You know, they had this commercial where they put a real typewriter for some kids and
they
told
didn't know
them
what it was.
Yeah, told them to figure out how to use it, and you should have seen them. They're just like, where do we start? I like that.
Where's the start button?
Yeah, you know, they can figure out a computer in the heartbeat. You put something just simple in front of them, like, okay. I'm like, wow. And one of them was actually looking on the side trying to find the start button. Like, really? That's kind of scary.
That's how they're conditioned. That's what they know. Typewriters are pretty obsolete.
Yeah, I can still. You can still find a couple of them though.
I got one in the closet that I used to use a long time ago to type out invoices. I never computerized the system.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I don't know if I use it. I have a hard time. I'm not a pack rat, but I have a hard time throwing away stuff that's still useful.
Well, you know what? Yeah, I was going to say, you know, that thing still can be useful, though, because, you know, you never know. Power go right out and you're doing it. Hey, just pull out the typewriter. You already got the paper.
Oh, it's an electric typewriter. It ain't that old of a one.
Oh, okay.
It's an electric typewriter.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Antoinette got a good one, Smith Corner. I had one of those, but mine was like a what the things is, a not the typewriter, but a word processor. That's what it was.
Yeah. How did you learn how to type?
I learned that in school.
Man, I always thought that was silly to take that class, but by the time I got on the internet, you know, people were fighting with me right away. And mm-hmm. It felt so frustrated that you can't fight back because you can't type. You know? I hired a girl down the hall to help me fight with these people because she could type. I would tell her what to say and she would type. And then eventually And I type a real old-fashioned way, but I can type pretty fast. In fact, looking at this keyboard now, most of the letters are worn off. But I still can find them. I can still find it instinctively. In fact, damn near all the letters are worn off. Not all, but a lot of them are worn off. But I could still find it instinctively. So, you know, with practice, it makes pretty.
You know, it's funny you say that because my brother, may he rest in peace, you know, that's what he used to do. We, you know, hook up on Facebook. He would let his wife, I would type, and then he would say what he wanted to, and his wife would type it for him, you know. And I knew when it was him because every time he was on the keyboard, it took him forever. I would go and do something and come back and be like, okay, he finally finished. And I used to always joke with him. But, yeah. That's a good memory there. Let's see. I'm good with all. She has a rant. If he did it to her, he'll do it to you. Oh, okay. That's Ebony's show title. If he did it to her, he'll do it to you. Okay.
Yeah, and if she did it to him, she'll do it to you, too.
That makes sense. That makes sense. All right, Beasley, we're going to get up out of here, man. So everybody
real good.
Has...
I've got a short one today. That's fine.
Yeah, short one. Hey, it was Thursday fun. Nothing, you know, get a little laugh in, talk a little serious, you know, nothing major. Every now and then we need a show like this, you know, just to laugh a little, chill out. Just chill out. All right, so you got any last words?
No, I'll catch you tomorrow.
All right, have a good one. Okay. Michael, are you there, Michael? Michael, are you there? Michael, are you there? Michael, are you there? I guess Michael is not there. All right, try it. All right, y'all. It's been a good one. A very lighthearted and fun show today. We weren't trying to get too serious. You know why? Because we're serious. You know, sometimes you can be too serious and just drive yourself crazy along with everybody else. So some days it's good to have a little fun and just laugh and giggle and, you know, just have a conversation. Yeah. But anyway, I want to thank y'all for participating, and it's been fun. My chat room coordinator, Antoinette, thank you, darling. Of course, H2O, Divine Design, Ebony, Refine and Design, who slipped in the back door, 1119, 1163, 1202, and 1537. Thank y'all for joining me. And of course, we got on the line Mrs. Talk, Knowledge, Vernon, Michael. We want to thank Beasley and Michael Hood for calling in also. So it's been fun, y'all. And I tell you, tomorrow, don't forget Freedom Friday. Probably a lot of the same. You know, I'm feeling kind of jokey for the rest of the week right now. So make sure you come. And help us and, you know, have fun. Let's send you off on the weekend correctly. All right? Well, that's going to do it. Just remember, keep smiling. Show appreciation. Forgive with open heart. And make sure you're forgiving yourself first before you forgive anyone else. The biggest and the best thing, and I always say, learn to laugh at yourself. Because if you can't laugh at yourself, then, man, you're going to have a hard time, that's for sure. All right? So until 2 p.m. Central, 3 Eastern, 12 Pacific, 1 Mountain Time, this has been Let's Talk on Law Talk Radio. I'm your host, Mr. Talk, and I'm saying see ya!
Bye-bye.